sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Tuesday, February 25th, 2025 edition. Joining us on the line right now is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouses there in Gaylord. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Well, I got a question for you. Did Governor Gretchen Whitmer sign something that truly avoided a major disaster for us here in the state of Michigan this past week?
I don't know if I agree entirely with the premise, but she did sign something that is better than the awful sandwich that the Michigan Supreme Court had offered up. So, yes, there is a bit of relief. It's not exactly what we wanted, but it's better than what we were being handed.
I was talking with Senator Eric Nesbitt, who's running mm-hmm. for governor down at the state convention in Detroit on Saturday.
He was up in a restaurant last week.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, he said he heard our show when he was traveling up north last week and caught the station and heard us talking on the radio. I don't know if it was you and I or other interviews, but wants to come on the show. And I said, well, Eric, here's the problem I have, and I don't fully understand this. It was a compromise. Like you said, you know, it was better than what the Supreme Court had legislated from the bench. But at the same time, they still made some major changes to your industry. And I said, and you don't understand, after the China virus pandemic, we lost so many restaurants in our area, in our listening area, especially the UP. I said, now I don't even know if this compromise is even going to be workable. That's my question to you. With the compromise where they still gave a raise, is this going to still impact a bunch of these small mom-pa type diner restaurants?
Yeah, in my estimation, it will. Now, there are, you know, a bunch of different kinds of restaurants, different levels of service, right? But at the end of the day, it raised the minimum wage to, I think, $12.47. Now, a lot of us aren't even paying a minimum wage. What it also does is it keeps the tip wage in place at 38% for at least this year. So we are going to be paying all servers a little bit more. I think it's going to be maybe about 50 cents more for this year. So the immediate impact of the wage increase is not going to be as drastic as originally intended by Michigan Supreme Court. So now what I'm looking at is the more detrimental effect now is going to be the paid sick leave.
Right.
That is in our industry specifically that has chronic absenteeism for lots of reasons. They feel like this is a fix for our industry because of chronic absenteeism. But what they don't understand, because they're not in the business world or have never operated a business with employees before, what they don't understand is that it's an additional cost, but we're also going to have to hire more employees to cover the potential of one-fifth of our workforce being out at any given time.
Sure.
So that's really what's going to be difficult for our industry moving forward, is how we're going to navigate the paid sick leave while having to pay an employee to be out sick at the same time as paying somebody to be there. So it's almost doubling the labor in some instances. That now is going to be the most difficult part. Yeah. And I've heard various fixes, but I'm now hearing One Fair Wage, that poured millions of dollars for this petition back in 2018, is already planning to sue because of the new compromises that came out of the House and Senate last week.
Of course. Absolutely. I knew that was coming, saw the writing on the wall as soon as they passed it and she signed it. We're going to continue speaking with Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouses over in Gaylord. Short break, a word from our other sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
From Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Staying on through the break, Ian Murphy at the Iron Pig Smokehouses over in Gaylord. Ian, one of the things I don't understand, and I was talking with legislators, I talked to my state rep, John Roth, attempted to talk to Senator John DeMoose. I said, you guys, you cannot keep this at 10 employees, you got to raise it up. These smaller businesses. Now, Ian, I don't know exactly how many staff members you have between your two locations, but I got to think maybe 25 would put you out of this situation. They left it at 10. 10 employees. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is very detrimental to small businesses like yours or even smaller when now they have to deal with this because they left it at 10 employees.
Yeah, and in fact, I think 25 is too low. I think it honestly should be more like 40, 40 to 50 employees.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, what I've seen over the last number of months since this Supreme Court ruling came down, and then, of course, the changeover in leadership between the houses, it seems like in the Senate mainly that the paid sick leave was more important than raising the minimum wage. That's just what it seems, that they held firmer on the paid sick leave stuff than they did with the minimum wage. So, again, I agree with you wholeheartedly. 10 is such an arbitrary, ridiculous number. Where did they even come up with that, and why?
Exactly.
And
yes.
You know, again, these are just people that aren't even adjacent to these things to understand. And the organizations that are supposed to be backing us up aren't doing that. The Chamber of Commerce for Michigan, where are these people? You know, I understand that the Michigan Restaurant Lodging Association, yeah, they put together the, you know, some rallies and stuff like that. But honestly, back in 2017 and 2018 was when this battle should have been fought, with all the things that we're all saying right now should have been said 6 years ago or 7 years ago, 20, however many years ago it's been now.
Yeah,
that's what should have been done back then, not now. And this is what we're getting now, is this giant turd sandwich that we're all having to take a big bite out of.
Well, 2017, when they started the petition drive, and I looked at it because they wanted to put it on the ballot, you remember, for 2018. Mm-hmm. Well, this is when the Republicans were in control of the House and the Senate, and they, with Snyder, thought, okay, well, let's adopt and amend this thing in the same legislative session, ultimately leading to the Supreme Court saying it was unconstitutional what they did. But I looked at who was this group, who was this organization. One Fair Wage is based out of California. These people don't even live in Michigan. So, first of all, why in the heck are we allowing a foreign entity, as far as I'm concerned, California is another country, in my opinion. Why are we allowing them to come in and have such a tremendous impact? Why are they targeting us? It's because wages then can be clearly defined in this state, and then they can try to unionize these wage people to be able to join their unions and pay a union due based on wages reported. This is the whole bottom line backstory to this whole thing.
Yeah, 100%. The SEIU is just waiting in the wings, you know, salivating right now with everything that's going on.
Yep.
And, you know, in both of my parents, you know, both were union members for the majority of their lives. I don't have anything against unions. I have something against forced union membership. If unions are so awesome, why do they have to force you to be a member of it? That's my whole thing.
Exactly.
But, the other thing, too, is if you take care of your people, they don't need a union. And that's what we do at the Iron Pig, is we take care of all of our people. When you request time off, you get it. I think maybe one time in 8 years have we had an employee not get a day off that they've requested.
Yeah.
That's because we run a good staffing plan. We take care of our people. We make sure that they're making a good wage. And we make sure that our business is full so that they are making a good wage. They're making good tips. Like, that's, to me, it's incumbent upon the employer, not on the government, to make sure that the employee is getting what they deserve.
Absolutely.
To me, it's this move away from, you know, we always have strived for equal opportunity. Now what they're striving for is equal outcomes, right? It's equality of outcome, not equality of opportunity. And to me, that's really what this is all about. Stop trying to create everything the same, because that's what they really want to do.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that really drives me crazy I mean, look at this model that we've had for tipped wages. Look at this model that we've had with small businesses being able to give people time off, being forced now to pay them to stay home. And what really upsets me the most when I read the statute, the way it's written, there's no responsibility put on the employees to give any advance notice. Okay, now I understand, you know, you get sick in the middle of the night. You're throwing up. Okay, obviously you're sick. You don't want to go into work and make everybody else sick, especially if you're handling food and passing it out to customers. So you call in as soon as you can. I understand those scenarios. But how this bill is written, literally, Ian, they can call in, you know, an hour before the shift starts and say, I'm not coming in today. Well, what are you supposed to do as an employer?
Right. And that's where I'm saying now I've got to pay the employee out to be sick, and I've got to pay the employee that's covering that person. So it's doubling in some instances my labor for the day.
Sure.
So that is why it is absolutely crazy. And on top of the fact, people that are already receiving PTO, their PTO is going to be reduced because of this mandate now. And on top of that, this is another thing. So we offer Aflac benefits to our full-time employees, right? Just one thing that separates us from the restaurant down the road. These things that they are now mandating, those used to be things that we would use to differentiate our restaurant from somewhere else. And now they're taking that away. So all of these things that they're doing are just chipping away at the free market and the ability for a business to market themselves as a better place to work than the restaurant or the business or the insurance place that's up the road.
Yeah.
That's simple. Just stay out of our business. None of us asked for this in this industry to remove the tip credit. I still can't get an answer ready to this question. Why is it that I have five times as many applications for a $4 an hour a job than I do for a 20-hour job? They can't answer that question.
Right. They know, because bottom line, how many, you know, and I'm just going to grab, let's say, dinner time during the week. I'm not even going to talk about Friday, Saturday, Sunday business, but I'm talk like, say, a Wednesday night, you know, 6 o'clock dinner rush hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your average waitress or waiter that's working with you at your two locations, I have seen them serve 3, 4, 5, 6 tables when you guys are smoking hot, you know, when the place mm-hmm. is packed, the line's mm-hmm. out the door for the orders. I'm sorry, Ian, I haven't tipped less than $8, Vicky and I going out to dinner, $8, $9, $10, $12. The other day we went to Olive Garden and I tipped the lady $12, okay, on the $40, $45 bill. She was great. I gave her a good tip. I'm sorry, but when you're looking at a waiter or waitress in your restaurants serving those 3, 4, 5, 6 tables, and how long does it take to turn a table, they're making way over $15 an hour. They're damaging these people's incomes potentially.
Yeah, listen, Randy, it's as simple as this. Sunday morning, one of my waitresses for brunch, she worked 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. What's that?
Six hours. Yep.
She made over $250.
$40 an hour plus.
It's literally that simple. Now they want to take that incentivization away and try and bring them to $15 an hour.
Right.
It's a joke. They simply do not understand how meritocracy works and how this industry leverages that so these people can make exponentially more money than the government is trying to offer them. It is literally that simple.
Unbelievable. Now, was that the Sunday brunch at the South location or Main Street?
So we do breakfast Saturday and Sunday, brunch on Sunday till 2 o'clock at the South End new location only.
South location, got it. Yes. So obviously with the snowmobilers and everybody else in town, now that they're being made aware of your new location, great place for a Sunday brunch. And how do you guys operate that? Is it a flat fee? How is it that you price your brunch on Sundays?
So brunch, we just have a full menu, right? So we offer brunch all the way till 2 o'clock. So our breakfast menu goes till 2. You can get lunch if you want to as well. So it's very simple.
Right off the menu.
Right off the menu, yep. And then we do a Bloody Mary bar on Sundays as well, so there's always that.
Yeah, got it. Well, one of the things that when this passed, and I saw that she signed it actually past midnight, which that's another legal question, I think one of the bases for which they're challenging it in court. When I saw it happen, it's like, man, I can't wait to have Ian on the show to talk about this, to get your perspective. And again, speaking for how many small restaurants that we have in the state of Michigan, I was talking to a gentleman down I-75. He has the Yellow Belly Perch down there at exit 160. Been there for years. He said, Randy, I think I'm closing. And we caught him on the way back home from the state convention in Detroit. And we stopped there for the Perch dinner on a Saturday. And he's like, he almost started crying. His grandfather started it. His dad took over. He took over for his dad. He was wanting his son to take over for him. And the son said, sorry, Dad, I'm moving to another state. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs here in Michigan. My question is, do you think maybe, possibly, with a new Michigan businessman Republican governor and taking back the Senate, do you think we might have a snowball chance of undoing some of this crazy stuff?
You know, that's, I've been asked that question a lot. Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt and I discussed it the other night, because I actually asked him why nobody was challenging it, the Michigan Supreme Court ruling, which is an interesting question. But
What did he say?
Well, he actually said, I hadn't thought of that, which kind of blew my mind a little bit, but
he did not say that.
He did. He said, well, you know, we'll have to ask legal about that.
Oh, my God.
Right. So I wasn't really impressed with that answer. But, you know, why is this restaurateur in northern Michigan thinking of these things, but the minority leader and you know, person running for governor hasn't thought, you know. So, I wasn't really impressed with that. The real question is how this all moves forward, and if, let's say, that they've got the trifecta, the Republicans have the trifecta in 26, can they rewrite this law that doesn't step on the Michigan Supreme Court ruling, and or is there an outside challenge to the Michigan Supreme Court ruling, and or is there an outside challenge to what the House and Senate, how they changed the Michigan Supreme Court ruling? So it's a constitutional crisis, I hate to say it.
Right.
But this is what happens when you write terrible laws. When you push laws through that aren't written well, just like Public Act 233 and what the Michigan Public Service Commission has done,
sure. They're
just writing bad laws, Randy, and they need to just stop.
Well, hopefully the lawsuit, and speaking of, we're getting closer to filing. What are we doing on that front?
We filed on Friday.
So oh, you did?
Official, yep. And right now we're just waiting for word back that the defendants have been served. So it would be RWE Solar Development in Chicago, Illinois, and then the county of Otsego.
Got it. Good. Well, we were heading down to Detroit, so I missed that. I didn't catch your press release on that, but greatly appreciate you doing it for us. And as always, ironpigsmoke.com, still the best website to go to, Ian?
You got it. That's right.
All right, brother. We appreciate you, man. Stay strong. Keep fighting the good fight for us.
Thank you, as always, Chuck Randy.
On the AR News, we'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award-winning news team.